Hey folks, this is Tom Castles, former host of Databook. I just wanted to drop in for a second to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by InterSystems, the engine behind the world's most important healthcare applications. So here's the deal. InterSystems is all about helping you overcome the challenges of modern healthcare. Their advanced software solutions can help your health system transform care processes for moving to value-based care, managing population health, engaging patients, and so much more. It's all driven by a simple mission: to empower care providers and connect care communities around clearly presented, easy-to-use, and comprehensive health information. I think we can all agree that our industry needs innovation. So that's why I encourage you to take the next step today. Reach out to InterSystems on Twitter or LinkedIn, or visit them online at intersystems.com.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Databook. My name is Samara Rosenfeld, and today I will be speaking with Charisse Maynard, a healthcare strategist and key opinion leader. As a member of Inside Digital Health's editorial board, and as a strong voice in the community, Charisse regularly uses her influence to promote thought leadership in the areas of design thinking, efficiency workflows in healthcare, patient-provider marketing, medical education curriculum reform, and program development. Today, we will take a look back at the last decade in health tech, as well as projections and expectations for 2020 and beyond.
All right, I am here with Charisse Maynard. Charisse, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about this subject of health tech in 2019 and beyond. So much has happened over the last decade, and sure, so many things are going to happen in the next couple of years, and I can't even imagine what things might look like in this area in the next 10 or 20 years. Let's take a step back and look at health tech in 2019. What do you think was the big thing last year in the space?
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will say this, but 100% I believe the biggest thing to happen, not only because it happened in 2019, but also because it's going to be so impactful moving forward. And that's probably going to be Amazon's parlay into the healthcare IT space. And like I said, I believe a lot of people will say that, but I think you will be hard-pressed to have people understand why Amazon in this space is so important going forward, and how impactful it wasn't in 2019 and how impactful it's going to be. Because you have to kind of qualify those answers. You know, Amazon being a tech giant on its surface is news enough, but the reasons why Amazon in the healthcare space being that impactful are just as important as them actually being here.
Let's just go right into it then. There are a lot of these non-traditional healthcare brands that are moving into health tech. You have the Google, the Apple, and as you mentioned, Amazon, Uber, Lyft. How can these brands really disrupt the industry?
When you look at someone like the Ubers and Lyft, clearly they have their eyes set on the transportation portion of healthcare, and that is an area that needed some help because we saw a lot of fraud in with the transportation segment. So Uber and Lyft can help in those areas. Now, do they belong in the space? I'm not sure because they are not healthcare tech companies, but will they disrupt? I think they can because of the pricing structure there. As far as their actual internal structure, paying employees and that type of thing, I'm not sure that's the best thing for their employees. Well, I should say their contractors, but as far as the industry and being able to get seniors to buy into the idea of transportation and that type of thing, it might be good long-term, but I think there were some problems first off. Now, when you look at the Google, a lot of people like to think that Google's new to healthcare, but it actually is not. Historically, Google did try to come into the healthcare space early on, and I really actually like their early product of trying to do the exchanges and that type of thing, but nobody really bought into it then. So now they're coming back around, and I think Google will do okay if they make some careful choices. Now, with Amazon, it's a different thing because Amazon is going to get us into their whole ecosystem, right? The whole ecosystem of Alexa and all that kind of things and medicine. They got the pill pack they unpack. You know, they're doing some pretty heavy things. They made a heavy investment in the Boston-based healthcare medicine segment. You got Cerner, who's using their AWS services for decision-making tools and that type of thing. So I think Amazon is going to be the big winner here. And I think in a way that's going to make healthcare more seamless for individuals, for patients, for our everyday lives and that type of thing. So I think Amazon being here will probably be the best of that group to come forward.
Would you say then that Amazon's participation in healthcare was the most important thing that happened over the last decade, or was it the improvements in artificial intelligence or digital health apps, virtual reality? What was the thing that stood out to you over the last 10 years that really changed the game?
I think what changed the game, two things actually, innovations in medicine, but also patient empowerment as a consequence of digital health and of tech innovation in this space. A lot of people don't realize before we did not have the inclusion of patients in decision-making the way we do now. We did not have the engagement of doctors with their patients and with medical systems and that type of thing the way we do now. It's been very impactful. So not only do patients have a way to access healthcare systems, we have a way to work with them and to collaborate with them to make the system better as a whole. So I think that's the biggest thing that's happened. I think we tend to want to think that EHR systems coming into the space was the biggest thing to happen. No, the consequence of EHRs and digital health in the space have made it possible for physicians, medical schools, patients, and the like to work together. And that's the biggest thing that happened in the last 10 years.
Now, when it comes to these patient-facing technologies, more and more health systems are using them, which you had just mentioned. Where do these technologies need to improve in order to make healthcare that much easier to access for patients in the future?
Any system, any solution going forward, any innovation, anything that you think that will be disruptive has to fit seamlessly into the lives of patients. Innovations and solutions have to work for the way we live now and the way we're going to be living in 2050 and beyond. And I think when it comes to solutions and stuff, patient-facing solutions, a lot of emerging technology and stuff fail to take that into account. But moving forward, you almost have to, because everything that patients do, we have to make healthcare more seamless and more efficient and more easily accessible for them, because we no longer are seeking care in those traditional spaces. Everybody's not at a hospital. Everybody's not at a clinic. We're accessing things in the communities more, in our homes more. People are living longer. And healthcare and all those different types of needs we have in the healthcare space have to be seamless in order to work for patients and the way we are living now.
Now, in what ways do you think we can achieve that?
I think, honestly, and this ties into one of your other questions, I think by making things more precise, we have ideas like 3D pill printing and stuff now that aren't being utilized to their greatest capacity. We have ideas right now for accessing health in non-traditional ways. Now, there are some debatable ways we are doing this, but I think the best thing moving forward would be to make healthcare more in the community, less about people going to a hospital to see a physician, less about not being able to access things, because we can get real-time data now, which is great for precision medicine. We can do real-time statistics, real-time results for patients and that type of thing. So moving forward, anytime you can take what was big data and that type of thing and turn it into small, usable data is what's going to work for patients and for the care environment in general moving forward.
Now, kind of coming into play with these patient-facing technologies is you have things like augmented reality and virtual reality, which patients can use in their homes or obviously in a healthcare facility. What direction do you believe those types of technologies will go in the upcoming years?
The augmented realities are really going to make a big difference in medical education, because it's allowing medical schools to teach students and interact with patients in a way where they don't have to necessarily always be touching a cadaver and making that difference there. And I think we tend to overlook medical education, but that is the first place where future doctors interact with patients. And so it's very important that we see that augmented reality is going to make a big, big impact there. Also, AI and different segments as far as in the home, even in places where you don't traditionally look, in the pharmacies and that type of thing, people are going to be interacting with AI, and AI will be recognizing us before we recognize it. Again, because AI has that ability to fit seamlessly in so many different places, we interact with it not necessarily in ways that we don't always know. You might be dealing with AI when you phone a clinic or phone your doctor's office and that type of thing. And I think that AI and augmented realities and all those lovely things will make significant impact in those spaces, again, because it's about efficiency and about seamlessness.
Obviously, healthcare has seen a lot of improvements through the implementation of technology, but there are some pitfalls here and there are expectations that might not have been met last year and in the last decade, with blockchain, AI. What really stood out to you? We'll start with just last year alone. You know, what were you expecting in this space that just didn't happen or didn't happen to the level that you thought that it might?
Now, a lot of people like to say blockchain, but I think blockchain was overhyped in a way that wasn't blockchain's fault. Blockchain does what it's supposed to do and should be seen as an enhancement to a solution, not the solution. But looking at other things, I think for me, particularly in this past year, I think it was 5G. And that's not to say that 5G is not going to be phenomenal moving forward, but coming out of, let's say, a conference like HIMSS 2018, HIMSS 2019, you know, 5G was everywhere, AWS, everybody was hyping it up. But what people failed to realize, and I don't know if this surprised me as much as I knew it probably couldn't get done to that level, you know, in the next year or whatever, but 5G, you have to have a structure to support it. So all the infrastructures in hospitals and that type of thing don't now support 5G. They will in the future, but they don't now. So in 2019, we couldn't get to those places where we wanted to see those innovations made with 5G. So let me give you a perfect example, something small, the RFID uses in, let's say, in a hospital. So one client of mine, they were testing an RFID device in the hospital where it was just supposed to keep track of the x-ray machines and that type of thing. Well, it couldn't do it because it was running on 5G, so it couldn't identify where those things were. And those are the little things that tend to get overlooked, like, okay, we've got this great technology, but can the infrastructure that currently exists support it? And that's where 5G failed to be realized in 2019, which was a disappointment, but that's not to say that it won't be realized going forward.
How far off do you think that we are from having our hospitals be able to handle that?
Well, the newer hospitals and the newer medical schools have those considerations in place already. So it's not that far off. But I think it's strange that 4G actually supports these technologies more than 5G does when it comes to, like, even just the wall structures of hospitals and that type of thing. So I think going forward, the ones that are built will be better. And when you see renovations being done in those spaces, it'll get done. But I wouldn't say it's too far. I would say 5 years or less, we'd be in a good place. But I think they thought 2019 was going to be the year for 5G, and I don't think it was in the healthcare space to a level that we would have liked to have seen.
I even remember being at HIMSS, like you had mentioned, I did see a lot of 5G stuff going on there and discussions, but you know, I also didn't quite see that. So I definitely agree with you on that. But how about, again, take a step back. Over the last 10 years, was there anything that didn't really come to fruition that you thought should have or would have?
Interoperability didn't become what we thought it was going to be. you know, we're still striving. So a couple of things come to mind. Interoperability. And again, I think in the next 5 years, we'll see big strides in that. Again, I think Amazon is going to be a big winner in that space when it comes to interoperability. But definitely interoperability and the EHRs. If you think about it, in like 2008, 2009, the adoption of electronic medical records and EHRs, and even HIEs, that was the thing. And we all had great, you know, expectations for all those innovations, but common sense didn't come into play, which was, how will doctors work with these things? We don't want to turn doctors into data entry clerks, but that's what we did in essence. So it was a failure in that realm. And also with patients, patients didn't automatically buy into these technologies that we were asking them to buy into, the patient portals and that type of thing. That was a slow kind of buy-in process for patients where they are slowly picking up now. And it's not to say that they're not tech savvy, because a lot of patients were buying into tech before providers and doctors were. So what it was the careful consideration at the foundation with these innovations. The patients weren't there and the doctors weren't there. We developed these technologies a lot with non-health related tech companies, a lot of health tech companies who were looking to be, you know, one in one with married to the regulations instead of the relationship between the patient and the physicians. So it failed. And, you know, I think sometimes people don't want to say EHRs failed, but they failed. And I think that was one of the greater failures of the past decade. But also, again, looking forward, you can see while we can look at the sins of the past and say, we've got to correct this. And we're seeing some better solutions coming forward now, you know, voice activated EHRs and different things that allow physicians to get back to the joy of medicine and working with their patients, and also allowing patients to interact with innovation in a way that's comfortable for them instead of just answering regulatory challenges.
With the improvement of EHRs, how might that affect the path of physician burnout?
With the newer models that are coming forward and some of the things we're seeing now, a couple of things are going to happen that need to be considered. The students who are in medical schools now are more tech savvy. They more interact with tech and with electronic data and that type of thing. So we won't see that level of burnout when we're considering the EHR. That's the first thing. The second thing is the physicians that are already in the system, they will see greater models. And also you'll see vendors more readily including physicians in their decision-making with design of these tools and that type of thing. So it will lessen burnout. Now, will burnout go away? I don't think so. We still have a problem of a physician shortage in the system. We still have medical schools that do not deal with medical students who have learning disabilities and who are not doing well. They just kind of pass them along and that type of thing. So we still have some issues surrounding burnout. We have to find a way to make the care environment as a whole better for physicians so that they do find joy in practicing medicine. We have a lot of physicians who are leaving the field, opting for other things in their lives. And we know that's not sustainable because we have a shortage already. And going forward, that's not going to be good. But also with burnout, we have to look at bringing more physicians into the system who can work with the type of patients we're seeing in the system. We have a more diverse patient population than we have in the history of this country, but we don't have physicians who can deal with all those different backgrounds, and that is another issue altogether. So as far as burnout, the EHR solving that problem will help. Will it solve it? Absolutely not.
Patient Experience Symposium is a one-of-a-kind conference that brings together leading stakeholders from across healthcare to improve and enhance patient experience. The most influential thought leaders, healthcare executives, clinical trial operators, and clinicians will come together in Massachusetts from May 11th to 13th to exchange game-changing ideas and actionable strategies to enhance patient experience in their healthcare ecosystems. The symposium features a new track, The Role of New Technologies in Healthcare, which will include a session titled Telehealth, Improving the Patient Experience and Enhancing Care, featuring Dr. Joseph Kvader, and Digital Therapeutics, Combining Technology and Evidence-Based Medicine to Transform Personalized Patient Care, featuring Megan Coder. Attendees will learn best practices and find answers to difficult patient experience issues and leave with the power to develop an unforgettable patient experience. To register and learn more, go to patientsymposium.com. Together, we're changing the face of patient experience.
So we took a trip down memory lane and we looked at last year and 10 years ago. You mentioned a couple of things looking ahead at 2020 and beyond, but where does the most promise lie for health tech in the future?
AI, because it's going to touch us in so many places. It will touch in the, like I said, medical schools, medicine, patient care, non-traditional patient care, non-traditional settings and that type of thing. So I think AI is probably going to make the biggest impact moving forward. And the other thing is because AI has allowed patient empowerment. So I think AI is probably going to be the big winner.
What role should the government play moving forward to ensure that health tech is continuing to play such a big part in patients and health systems' lives?
As little as possible is the easiest answer. I think regulation and innovation aren't the best bedfellows. So the best way for innovation to happen in a way that works for patients and for doctors is for regulation to get out of the way. You know, I think historically, regulation needed to be there to protect patient safety and that type of thing. But moving forward, you can have less regulation and still have safe innovation. So I think regulation should play a smaller role than it is currently. And I think one of the things that I've been pleased about is how CMS has taken a leadership role on that. We're trying to remove some of those hurdles to innovation and getting things to market and getting things that will help patients and physicians, you know, thrive in their care environment. Less is more as far as I'm concerned with regard to regulation.
Now, you know, this wouldn't be an Inside Digital Health podcast if I didn't ask, how can we read through the hype of all of these possible innovations?
Well, if you're thinking from the patient side, it's kind of difficult. And I always mention the patients first, because at the end of the day, that's who we're putting these innovations in place for. But if you're talking about from an insider or from the industry side, I always tell people to test drive as much innovation as you can. Go to some of the hacking contests and some of the innovation design contests and that type of thing, because you can stop a bad product from coming to market just by sharing your expertise or your advice. But other than that, we're always going to test new things. But for anybody who's developing technology, because I do get a lot of clients who are like, oh, Charisse, how do you think this will work and that kind of thing? I always caution, don't try to find a problem for your solution. Let's look at who needs it. Will this work for patients? Have you had a patient focus group? Will this work for physicians? Will it allow them to thrive in their environment without a lot of heavy lifting? Will it get them the data to them where they need it and in real time and that type of thing? So moving forward, I think those are the things we need to look at to keep from bringing bad products to the market and, you know, all this trial and error. You can bring a decent product to market if you just stop and look at who are you bringing it to market for.
Well, Charisse, I'm really looking forward to seeing where the future lies in health tech. I'm excited to have the patients continue to control their destiny right. And their healthcare journey. And you know, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about some of these big innovations over the last 10 years and what's to come.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. As always, I'm your host, Samara Rosenfeld. Make sure you like this podcast, subscribe, and follow Inside Digital Health on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook to stay up to date on the latest health tech news. Also, feel free to follow me on Twitter, @RosenfeldSamara, and let me know what you want to hear on the upcoming episodes of the show.
Hey folks, this is Tom Castles, former host of Databook. I just wanted to drop in for a second to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by InterSystems, the engine behind the world's most important healthcare applications. So here's the deal. InterSystems is all about helping you overcome the challenges of modern healthcare. Their advanced software solutions can help your health system transform care processes for moving to value-based care, managing population health, engaging patients, and so much more. It's all driven by a simple mission: to empower care providers and connect care communities around clearly presented, easy to use, and comprehensive health information. I think we can all agree that our industry needs innovation. So that's why I encourage you to take the next step today. Reach out to InterSystems on Twitter or LinkedIn, or visit them online at intersystems.com.